Thank you for listening to this episode of the Tucumcari, New Mexico Area News Podcast, a roundup of what's newsworthy and what's going on in the Clay County area. Like our page on Facebook and join in on the discussion at the Tucumcari, New Mexico Area News Discussion page. And now, here is your host, Gordon Runyon.
Hello, hello. I'm your host, Gordon Runyon. I want to thank you for downloading or streaming or however you're listening. Thank you for accessing this episode of the Tucumcari Area News Podcast. I'm recording on the tail end of the cold snap that surrounded President's Day here. A little dusting of snow on the ground. Sitting by the wood stove and hoping to bring you some information you can use today. One of the big pieces of news, I don't know if you caught it, Tucumcari made national news, or Clay County did, in the last week. The Washington Times, on their website, posted a article about Clay County and about the fact that the Clay County Commission, working with Sheriff Russell Schaefer, has decided to declare Clay County to be a Second Amendment sanctuary county, meaning that county funds, county resources will not be used to enforce gun control laws coming out of Santa Fe that tend to restrict private gun ownership and private gun use. Sheriff Schaefer pointed out that one of the laws that's working its way through the legislature right now would effectively shut down 4-H shooting sports. You wouldn't be allowed to do that in New Mexico anymore. And a lot of us who have lived here for a long time, that's a hard pill to swallow. And a lot of our kids have benefited from 4-H and shooting sports. And my girls were involved in shooting sports and I believe learned a lot about gun safety and just how to operate a weapon like that. And so Clay County has decided, it's just a resolution, it doesn't have the binding power of law, but it's a resolution that Clay County will not participate in enforcing those sorts of rules. And so the Washington Times picked this up and also mentioned that Curry County has made the same move, and very recently Union County as well, where Clayton is. It also mentioned there are at least three other counties, mostly on the eastern side of the state, I believe, that are in the process of doing the same kind of thing. And this is good. May their tribe increase. This is all good stuff. Now, it is just words, but they're good words. And if you would like to see our county and our county sheriff make good on this resolution, I think it's imperative that you find your county commissioners. You know them, they're your neighbors. Find the Clay County Sheriff's Office page on Facebook and just leave them a note. Let them know that you're happy to see that we've got people in those offices who understand what it means to be upholding and defending the Constitution of the United States. I want to point out that as good as this is and as excited as I am about it, and by the way, I'm the pastor of Emmanuel Baptist Church here in town, and everybody in the church is excited about it, and we have committed as a church body to pray for Sheriff Schaefer and support him in coming days, because that resolution that they passed is going to be tested. There is gun control going to come out of Santa Fe. There's no force in Santa Fe that will stand up and stop it. So we're getting gun control out of the legislature this term. The only question is how much. And once that does come out, now we've got a conflict, and now the rubber is going to meet the road. And so we have committed to praying for Clay County and for the sheriff to ask that God would support them and help them make good on their promise to do the right thing. I believe they will. I believe the sheriff will make good on these sorts of words. They are just words, they're good words, but they are certainly words that lead in the right direction. So please, support your local sheriff, as the saying goes. Now, there is one more step that we need. There is one more step that we need, and I believe that the sheriff understands this. I haven't seen him say it. I haven't seen it on his Facebook page, but from things that he has said about what it means to be a constitutional sheriff, I believe he understands what I'm about to say. And that is that it isn't enough for the county to decide that we will not participate in whatever gun control laws come down. That is not enough. That's good, but we need something more. And what we need is the understanding that the sheriff can and should make sure that gun control is not enforced by some other agency in Clay County. As a constitutional sheriff, Sheriff Schaefer has the authority to tell agents of the state and even of the federal government to cease and desist from whatever operations they're doing in Clay County and to get the heck out. He's got that authority, and we need him to understand that. I suspect he does. We need him to understand that and have the rock-solid spine to actually make good on that. So it's not just that here in Clay County, county officers and officials and funds will not be used to enforce gun control, but in fact, those resources will be used to keep anyone else from trying to enforce gun control. That's what we need. And like I say, my hope and my bet is that that's the sheriff's understanding as well. I want to bring some Bible into this and just show you where I get these ideas from and where they come from. I believe they are eminently biblical ideas. And we could spend a long time going from top to bottom here and talking about this. The idea of an armed citizenry is completely biblical. You know, there was no standing army in Israel in the Old Testament. There was no police force in Israel in the Old Testament. But what you had was citizen militias. And when a need arose, men gathered up their weapons and met the task at hand. And that was enough. And I believe it would be enough today if that was the same way. So in the Old Testament, at least, it was imperative that normal, average, everyday citizens be as well armed as possible for the sake of defending their friends and family and neighbors. The Bible is also very clear that self-defense is allowed under the law of God. It's not mandatory. If you're one of these pacifist types, there's nothing mandatory saying that you have to defend yourself, but self-defense is allowed. And so if you are attacked and you defend yourself, that's not a crime. I believe it is a duty for every adult Christian person, every Christian person with any kind of power, it is mandatory for us to defend those who are weaker than ourselves. We are supposed to stand up for those who are being oppressed because they're too weak to do anything about it. That's not an option. And so in order to do this effectively, the citizens need to be armed. And that's where we get that theory. That's where the whole theory of the Second Amendment comes from. But there are other issues at stake. And what I think we see here with the sheriff making this kind of stand, he is particularly standing up to the state government, which if you were going to draw up a ladder of authority, the county officials are generally lower, on a lower rung than state officials, and federal officials are on top of all of them. But what the sheriff is doing preemptively is very biblical. What he is doing, it's called interposition. And particularly in a case involving government like this, it's called the interposition of the lesser magistrate. Interposition of the lesser magistrate. And basically, this is a very biblical concept, and the idea is that when you have a government official who is higher up, and he begins to make laws that are unjust and injurious to the people, it is both the right and the duty of magistrates who are lower, lesser, not as high up on the ladder, it's their duty and their right to stand up and defend the people from the unjust laws that are coming down from above them. And that's exactly what is going on here. The sheriff is taking a preemptive step to say these unjust laws that would disarm the citizens, we are not going to participate in enforcing them. And that is an instance of interposition, and interposition of the lesser magistrate. I wanted to talk real briefly. I won't tell you all of these stories in detail, but very briefly, I wanted to give you a couple of places you can go look and check me and see, does the Bible really teach what I'm saying it teaches? The first place I direct you to is Jeremiah in chapter 38. And in this chapter, you're going to meet up with a character called Ebed-Melech, and he is an official in the household of King Zedekiah during the ministry of the prophet Jeremiah. And basically what happens, Jeremiah gets in trouble because of his preaching, because he won't keep his mouth shut, and he insists on preaching things that are hard and will not be well received by most people. So Jeremiah preaches, and bad guys take him and they throw him in a muddy cistern. There's no water in it. It's just mud. He sinks up to his waist. He's going to die slowly and painfully in this muddy pit. This happened, in fact, with the permission of the king. Now, Ebed-Melech is an official in the king's household. He's called a eunuch there, but that may just be a generic term for a household official. Ebed-Melech goes to the king and basically says, "Whoa, what are you thinking here? We can't do this." And he talks the king into allowing him to take some men with him and go and rescue Jeremiah. And they do. They lower down a rope with a bunch of used cloth and rags and stuff, and that he can pad the rope under his arms with, and they lift him out of the pit. And they rescue him from death. So in that instance, the king is the one who gave the initial command to go ahead and do whatever they wanted to do to Jeremiah. So they threw him in this pit to die. And Ebed-Melech, who was an official, a much lower official, but he was an official, and he took it upon himself to stand up to the king and correct his error. And he did this for the sake of rescuing Jeremiah. That's an instance of what we're calling the interposition of the lesser magistrate. Another place I would direct you to is in the book of 1 Kings in chapter 18. In the first 15 verses of 1 Kings 18, you'll read the story of King Ahab and one of his household servants named Obadiah, and the prophet Elijah. Now what happened is, during the days of Elijah, Elijah had prayed that the Lord would not send rain upon Israel, and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. And this is at the very end of that 3.5 year period. The scripture says the famine was very severe, as you might imagine. It hasn't rained for 3.5 years at this time. Well, Ahab's wife Jezebel was a witch queen. Witchcraft and idolatry were her thing. She was a murderer. She killed many of the servants of God. And at one point, she went about to kill all the prophets or preachers of righteousness. And this man, Obadiah, secretly took 100 of these prophets, divided them up into two companies of 50, and hid them in two separate caves. And not only did he hide them and keep them alive, but he took it upon himself to provide for them, which meant bread and water the whole time that they are shut up in these caves. This is during the a 3.5 year drought and famine. And here's one man, not only providing for himself and his household, but finding a way to provide secretly for 100 men of God, and he's not going to allow them to be murdered. This is another instance of the interposition of the lesser magistrate. The king and the queen had done their worst and were seeking to wipe out all those who were faithful to God. And Obadiah took it upon himself to hide 100 of them. I imagine that's all he could find. Many others had already been murdered. So Obadiah hides them, and he's a hero in that case. In fact, if you want to go and see what God thought about his hiding the prophets there, it says in that passage that the reason Obadiah did all of this is because he greatly feared the Lord. And fear of the Lord is kind of an Old Testament way of saying faith. He believed and obeyed. And so Obadiah is a hero for his interposition. There are many other instances of that. The Philippian jailer in the book of Acts, when Paul and Silas were in jail, at one point, because of a change in his own heart, he takes Paul and Silas out of the prison, sets food before them, treats them well, dresses their wounds, and basically shows them great hospitality. That's also an instance of interposition. That certainly wasn't the sentence that had been passed down for them. And so the jailer, the lower magistrate, took it upon himself to do the right thing for them. And so this idea that the lesser magistrate has both the right and the duty to oppose unjust laws being imposed on the people, that is eminently biblical. And if you want, contact me, and I can give you about a dozen more instances of this throughout the scripture. And the last bit that we need to realize is that before we can even talk about rescuing people from unjust laws, we all have to agree that there is such a thing. And many people have taken passages like Romans chapter 13 and they have absolutized verses 1 through 7 such that they want to say the Christian has a responsibility to obey just whatever the government tells them to do. And this is patently false. This would overturn everything else that you see in the whole scripture. In fact, the Hall of Fame of Faith in Hebrews chapter 11, several of the people that make it into that Hall of Fame are people who disobeyed orders from the government. And it was precisely their disobedience that is counted as an act of faith. So what Romans 13 verses 1 through 7 is saying is not that you have a blanket obedience to do whatever the government says. Listen, in the whole Bible, there is nobody that has that kind of authority. No human, according to the scripture, no human has the power to command just whatever they want and demand obedience. Because all power is delegated by God, it comes from God, and God is the one who puts boundaries on it. In Romans chapter 13, the governor, or the we could generalize it, say the government is referred to as God's deacon, which means it's his servant. And it's just, as soon as I ask this question, you'll know what the answer is. If the government is God's deacon, then who should the government be serving? Right? Just to ask the question, the obvious answer is right there. If the government is God's deacon, government is supposed to be serving God. And when God gives the government the task of punishing acts of wickedness, who is it that gets to define what those acts of wickedness are? Who is it who gets to say what is right and what is wrong? Well, if he's God's servant, right? If he's God's servant, then whose definitions of right and wrong should he be using? And so Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7, in no way commands some kind of blanket obedience to the powers that be. In fact, in context with the rest of the book of Romans and with the rest of the Bible itself, what this means is simply that you and I as citizens ought to be willing to obey such rules as are not in conflict with the justice of God. As soon as the government steps outside the definitions of God's justice, not only do we not have to obey those rules, but we should not. We have an obligation, as Peter said, to obey God and not man when the two are in conflict. And so we want to be good citizens. We want to obey the law insofar as we can, but that law must not become disobedient. And when it does become disobedient, we will obey God. And I hope you'll join me, hope you'll join my church in praying for the officials of Quay County and all these other counties that have made this very important resolution. And it's time for us to think seriously about, well, what else? Where else could this be used? There are other wicked things going on in the state of New Mexico that I would love to see our local officials take a stand and say, this won't happen here in Tucumcari. Now, we don't have... I don't want to go too much into this. This will be a topic for another podcast. But when you think about New Mexico recently getting rid of every trace of anti-abortion laws and paving the way for New Mexico to remain a very liberal abortion state, even if Roe v. Wade is overturned, I want local government officials to stand up like they have with the gun control issue. I want them to stand up and say, abortion will not take place in our jurisdiction. If we can stand up to the federal government in terms of smoking pot, like Colorado and other states have done, if we can stand up to the federal government in terms of immigration laws, like I believe Seattle and San Francisco and some other groups have done, if we can stand up to bad government when we disagree with the laws that they're promoting, why can we not stand up in the cause of righteousness? Now, we don't have an abortion clinic here in Quay County, and thank God for that. But abortion pills are on sale at the pharmacies, and I would like to see somebody stand up and say, this isn't going to happen anymore. Murder your baby if you will, but you won't do it conveniently in this county. And so please pray for your government officials. Pray for the sheriff. Support him. Let him know you're supporting him. Because just like every other politician in the whole world, his spine is only going to be as strong as he perceives his support is among the voters. So let him know you're on his side. Until next time, go out and do good, Quay County. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope this episode of the Tucumcari, New Mexico Area News has been a blessing to you. Remember to like our page on Facebook to stay current on what's happening in Quay County. We are honored to be a part of the Reconstructionist Radio Podcast Network. Either Christ is Lord of all, or he's not Lord at all.